Hello everybody, I'm Dane Curley, and this is me clicking record.
Crack open my G-Fuel, drink it in your mom's basement while you're playing games, G-Fuel.
It became Footloose, but I swear it was supposed to be Wayne's World when I started it. Man, I love this flavor. Tiny Tina's Wonderlands is the place where the flavor comes from. It's actually not the name of the flavor. The name of the flavor, as I pry this thing out of my koozie, is Tiny Tina's High Rollin' Sparkly Boom Magic. Boom Magic. It's performance energy. It's energy and focus. It's zero sugar. It's delicious, but it's limited edition. So if you want the Tiny Tina's Wonderlands varietal of G Fuel, you're going to have to act now. Let me take a sip, folks. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's fruity. That might even be tutti fruity. That's how fruity it is. Anywho, this is going to be a quick one. Not going to be the full half-hour stretch here. And yeah, we do half-hour stretches now. Have you appreciated that? Do you like that? Yeah, every episode has been just about a half hour. I know some of you out there like, half hour? Joe Rogan does 3.5 hours. Okay, like, why is Dane Curley such a loser? And I know you're like that. And actually, you're the loser for saying that. Because, like, yeah, I'm not a mega millionaire, okay? I didn't star on Fear Factor for years before deciding to make a podcast, folks. So if you know what is good for you, you'll leave me alone. You'll be like, oh, yes, 30 minutes, solid. Guy was doing it every week. He kind of fell off a little bit for over this last stretch. But you know what? I'm about to go on vacation. I wanted to make sure I absolutely got you something. And so let's see how long I can go. I'm supposed to leave literally in 7 minutes. I'm supposed to leave for my vacation. 6 minutes now. I just saw the clock change over. I don't think that's going to happen. I got a podcast. I got to post the podcast. I still haven't backed. Da-da-da-da-da. Man, when you are not a child and it's time to go on vacation, it's a big fucking production, or one of my favorite words. There's a whole rigmarole associated with going on a vacation. It's not like the good old days where you throw all your junk in a backpack and hop in the car with mom. You have to plan everything. You've got to book everything in advance. You need an Airbnb or a VRBO or a GTFO. You need one of these things. And not only that, but you gotta drive there or get to the airport. It's a big production. I'm not a fan of it, per se. There's a certain charm to the staycation. I don't know if you're with me on this. There's a certain charm to the staycation. This idea of, I'm gonna take a week off work. I'm not gonna go anywhere. Which means I get all my time back. All of it. Every piece of time that I am gonna earn, or I have already earned when, you know, through working, oh, these accrued vacation days and all that whatnot, I'm gonna get back. I'm not gonna lose any of it to travel time. I'm not gonna lose any of it to sitting at the gas station fueling up my car. It's just all mine. I can do whatever I want with it. And then what do you do with it? You don't do anything. You binge Netflix shows. Yeah, that's the problem, is that when you do the staycation, if you can't control yourself to really be productive, write your novel that you've been wanting to work on, you know, if you're not doing all that stuff while you're using these vacation days, you're never going to do it. So if you, when you staycate the premises, If you're watching Netflix, yeah, you should probably, I mean, it doesn't have to be Netflix now. There's 1,000 of them, right? Like, nobody's still investing in the Netflix stock, I hope. I hope you're not investing in the Netflix stock. There's Paramount Plus, and Paramount Plus has to battle with Peacock for the same shows, which is really stupid, all those NBC shows. And then there's, what do we have else? I mean, HBO Max, there's Amazon Prime, which has a ton of stuff on there because you got all those other, like, subscriber channels. Like, I think I'm paying, God, I hope it's less than $6 for Discovery Network so I can get Survivor Man and all that stuff. You could get Showtime on there. Anyway, don't buy Netflix stock. I don't think it's a good idea. Is this defamation of a major corporation? Listen, there's too much competition. They just lost 1 million subscribers last quarter, and I think they lost several million before that one. Don't trust me, though. Use your Googling skills and find that out. But yeah, but be careful, folks, with the whole Netflix buy. Why did I start going to the stocks? Well, I'm just always worried about the financials of my listeners, because if your financials aren't in good order, then how the hell are you going to support me on Patreon? Patreon.com/DaneCurley. Please support us now. We had a huge advertising run. We have a very solid, maybe better than ever, listener amount per episode now. Please give me all your money on Patreon. And remember, you can donate any amount on any timeline. You do not have to be giving. They make it very easy to quit. They make it very easy to set up. Patreon, really good service. Really, you know, nothing to worry about there financially with all your information. They're good on privacy. They're good on everything. And they take money from us folks to provide you with that great service. So check it out.
Dr. Stephen Brule, check it out.
Remember that? That was really funny, John C. Reilly. That dude is a gem. Dude is a comedy and drama gem. No, see that? Now, I'm mixing. There's this new guy who's getting famous. Not all his videos are funny. Some of them are just like a weird voice. And it is a shtick, folks. I hate to break it to you. It is a shtick. He doesn't talk like that in real life. But it's like, if you ever wanted to do something weird and then you go and do something weird and it's just like, it's okay. That guy, he's all over Instagram Reels and TikTok now, huh? Anywho, I'm about to be distracted, so hang 10. Sorry about that, I'm back. Forgot to put up the Do Not Disturb sign on the old studio door. Anywho, I wanted to tell you all about this really cool guy. He's just a cool guy. Cool guy. What a way to describe someone. Let's do better. I wanted to tell you about this, I guess we could call him a magician. But you know, only if we're all aware that he's not using magic, he's using mind. And this fellow's name on Instagram, so that you could follow along or check him out, is @cardmagicbyjason. Card Magic by Jason. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of magic of this kind, and that my favorite magician is David Blaine, super inspirational to me. I know good magic when I see it. I've read books about magic, so I understand a lot of the technique involved, and I've read a lot of books also about this sort of mentalism kind of magic, and I have actually demonstrated a few of those tricks on my friends once learning how to do them. And there's all sorts of kinds of magic, but one of the most technically challenging kinds is card magic. And this guy at Card Magic by Jason, all one thing because it's an Instagram name, at Card Magic by Jason, he is the real deal. And he's been doing these kind of TikTok style, Instagram Reels style videos. I shouldn't even shout out TikTok anymore, man. That Chinese, government owned bullshit. Instagram Reels, the same exact thing now, and it's just as good. Just delete your TikTok, move on over to Instagram. Check out my Reels. Instagram's paying me to do Reels. Remember, like, they're still paying me to do Reels. They're paying me to be a silly asshole. So we definitely want to support Instagram's Reels ahead of the other Chinese-owned thing. And so anyway, Card Magic by Jason. He is really a cool guy. He is obviously, I mean, he must be one of the top card guys I've seen. Now, I don't super dive in to the underground aspects of card magic the way I am actively involved in the underground world of comedy. So, you know, I can do podcast after podcast after podcast on comedy and underground comedy and developing jokes and what the scene is like and what open mics are like and all that. and why they suck and why you shouldn't do them and why you should fucking develop a better game plan for getting better at comedy. I could go over that all day, and on that particular topic, I probably need to do a specialized episode. I can't really do that for Card Magic, okay? But what I can tell you is that this guy is amazing. So the concept here for Card Magic by Jason is, he's got this ego to him, and, you know, it's well-earned. He's mastered his craft. He's a master. And he kind of talks shit to people who leave negative comments, and that's created this this very fun dynamic, and it's cultivated this kind of endless criticism of him by people in comments. And, you know, he'll say things like, I know there's a lot of people out there who are really pissed off at how good I am, but I'm pissed off at how good I am. You know, he just kind of heckles the hecklers, which is something I love to do in my comedy career. So, you know, I got to respect him for that. And anyway, people in the comments are shooting out all these conspiracy theories as to how he's getting, let's say, aces to appear where he's making them appear in the deck. And the thing they're always saying is, you're not really shuffling the cards. Or they'll say, you just filmed it 100 times, right? So when he says, when people say, you just filmed it 100 times, he's like, hey, buddy, like, dude, run the statistics. This would take me 10 million times to do in a row if I was playing it, if I was just filming it and going with the statistical odds. You know, he's not trying to roll a 1 3 times, which even that is, you know, a lot of time wasted trying to get that to happen. He's trying to get, you know, the aces to come up in the 8th position of a poker deal, an 8 player poker game, right? Or a 5 player poker game. He's trying to, like, get a royal flush every time, right? And do it while shuffling the deck. That's his, sorry about that, I hit my microphone. I'm getting excited, I'm talking with my hands. That's his specialty, from what I can tell, is that he's really shuffling these decks, and the cards are still ending up where he's saying they'll end up. That's what makes his craft, quote-unquote, magic, okay? So people are just like, no, not possible. You're cheating. You're cheating. You didn't really shuffle. So he'll do the video over on that trick where they said he didn't shuffle. He'll have their comment floating above, you know, superimposed. And he'll shuffle them upside down so you can see how they're shuffled. That wasn't good enough for these people. So what does he have to do next? Now, he's shuffling them, but without mixing them, flipping them over. This guy can do all sorts of manipulations with the deck in all sorts of different ways. And he teaches you how, which is even cooler. He teaches you how to do a one-handed shuffle. He teaches you how to do a one-handed cut in the air. A one-handed cut is normal, and he explains that it's normal to do a one-handed cut because it's, you know, in Vegas, your sleeves are rolled up, in any casino, your sleeves are rolled up. And by doing it with one hand, you can't, you know, sleight of hand with your other hand and use, not manipulations, so that's obvious, is you're using your hands, but you can't deceive people by covering your hand at an awkward angle and palming a card, getting something out of it. So you just do one-handed shuffle, and there's a tradition to it that's revealing that you're not cheating. And that's very interesting, the one-handed cut. But he teaches you how to do a one-handed cut in the air with the whole deck of cards in the air, which is not something that they would do in Vegas. It's just badass magicians can do it. He teaches all this stuff. Teaches you how to like shoot the cards out, straight. He has all the terminology. I don't have it. He's like, that whole thing. You know that noise. He teaches you how to do all that stuff. And anywho, he also does private lessons for folks. So this is all repeatable work. That's what he's trying to demonstrate. I can repeat this. I can repeat it infinitely. I do it for a living. I can repeat it. I can do it live. I do it live. And people, that's another one. They're like, oh, you edited it. You edited it. You tried it a few times. You got it wrong. You edited it in the video at the end. So he had to add a stopwatch to the video. And now he has a stopwatch. He hits the stopwatch. He does it upside down. He reveals the way that it's been shuffled. He flips it over, showing that it's a perfect shuffle. And then still, gets the cards to appear in the same space and same place after all that shuffling. And it's magnificent. He can give himself anything he wants. And he can give other people and other cards anything he wants. He did one where he would give every person in a four-player game a royal flush. You know, every person got a royal flush after all that shuffling. Check out Card Magic by Jason. I hope you'll appreciate it as much as I do. The next thing I want to talk about is Irony Shifu. Is it racist to do accents and languages that you don't know? Of course not. Don't be a fucking loser blogging your fucking life away. Just laugh or don't laugh. And if you don't laugh, that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to find everything that other people find funny, funny. But the idea that there are accents... New breaking news! The world determines there are accents. Turns out, different accents sound funny to different people from parts of the world where those accents are not native. Yeah. What a... Did you hear how I just explained that? That's all that it is. That's all that it is. Don't be a little bitch. Irony Shifu! This show's awesome. There's a new season of it on Netflix. I just told you not to buy their stock. Now I'm telling you to subscribe. It's so good. It's called Battle for the Iron Legend. And you know, this guy who was in John Wick is on it. I always forget this gentleman's name. And he has a cool name, if I remember. But on the show Iron Chef, he portrays a character called the Chairman. So I type in the Chairman. It's not going to give me the guy from the Iron Chef. Oh, it is. People also search for Mark Dacascos. There he is. Mark Dacascos, he's a legit martial artist. He was in John Wick 3? Yeah, John Wick 3 as one of the main martial arts baddies. There's all different kinds of baddies in John Wick. By the way, John Wick, I mean, best show ever, right? We're all aware of that, best show ever. Sorry, it's not a show, it's a movie. How dare I? How dare I relegate John Wick to showdom? Oh my god, the trailer for John Wick Chapter 4 is out, and it's a teaser trailer. I can't watch a regular trailer. So I watched it, and on my Instagram at Dane Curley, there's my reaction video. I swear that's how I really felt. I love John Wick so much. So we'll do a whole friggin' John Wick episode in advance of Chapter 4. But I'm digressing hardcore, and I'm actually using the I'm digressing thing correctly this episode, so that's nice of me. I'm improving. So... Iron Chef, Mark Dacascos. Why do I bring him up? Because he plays this, like, hopelessly corny character who is revered. It's a weird character design, and I have to appreciate it. On Iron Chef, the Chairman is not the host, okay? He's just this weird character who introduces the show, introduces the secret ingredient, and then paces around watching. I don't even know if he really in real life knows anything about cooking, but he just paces around while the Iron Chef and the Challenger, and I'll explain this concept to you if you don't know it in a second, while they do their cooking, and he just paces around in judgment of them. But he's not really the judge. There are judges. There's three judges. They're going to actually grade the food and give it a score and grade it per meal. And then, only one person can win. Now, Iron Chef is essentially a show where an up-and-coming chef goes up against a chef who has already up-and-come. And the chef who is already up-and-come is typically some insanely talented under all sorts of high stakes and has an ego and is determined to win type of person here. And so... Bobby Flay is probably the GOAT if you go by the numbers. He has the strongest ratio with the most battles. There's also, I think, a guy named Simon is the last name, who has a better winning ratio, like an insane, like some crazy 80% win ratio in these insane challenges that they don't know what they're going to do beforehand. But he hasn't had quite as many battles as Bobby Flay. And, you know, people think Bobby Flay is like burger loser. No, he's like an amazing chef. So, anywho, New York City's own Bobby Flay, baby. But he cooks Southwestern style for some reason. Not sure how he got into that. I'm sure there's a documentary about it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Iron Chef. And Mark Dacascos' character is like, today's secret ingredient is life surgeon! And like doing all sorts of ridiculous, you know, presentations like that and making corny jokes. And he'll be like, you may be feeling a little wet when we reveal the next secret ingredient. And it's very dumb and not necessary for what's about to occur. And yet it's part of the success of this show is to have Mark Dacascos as this character, the chairman, doing that. This totally, I don't know if it's farcical, it's just totally obnoxious and unnecessary. But it's all part of the magic of Iron Chef. And then after he says, Ave cuisine! And like does this martial arts maneuver and then sends the Iron Chefs running, literally running because their timer has begun, to the secret ingredient area, grabbing all the different kinds of ingredients that they want that they're going to add to their storehouse ingredients that they have kind of pre-packaged and pre-ready. And then, you know, they have to make 5 dishes or 4 dishes, depending on the episode. Or 4 dishes and a drink, you know, all different kinds of variations, but at least 4, and they have to give them to 3 chefs. Now, this season, Battle for the Iron Legend, they had Nilu Motamed and as a primary judge, and she's like, you know, a food and travel wizard, I suppose. Nilu Motamed, let's see, she's Iranian-born American magazine editor and television personality. She is a recurring judge on the television series Iron Chef. Matamid is the former editor-in-chief of Food and Wine magazine and Condé Nast's Epicurious. So there you go. She knows a little bit about food. Okay, she was the editor-in-chief of Food and Wine magazine. So the other recurring judge is, and this is how I got into the show. Well, not really, but how I got... Well, yeah, how I got into the show, I guess that's true to say. It's not how I discovered the show. I've always known about the show. It's always intrigued me. It's always been a fun concept, and I've, you know, dabbled in it. But this is the first season I've watched front to back because I was pretty excited that the other main judge is Andrew Zimmern. And Andrew Zimmern is the host of Bizarre Foods, which when I was in high school was just like the greatest show ever. Have you seen the show Bizarre Foods? Andrew Zimmern, who's a legit chef, knows everything about food, as you'll see in Iron Chef when he's judging. He's a well-traveled individual. He's been everywhere and he's eaten everything. Bizarre Foods is where he deliberately goes out and finds the strangest things to eat. Not the most disgusting things to eat. Sometimes they are disgusting. Just the strangest, just the most unique. And it's a beautiful show. It's an amazing show. It was right up there with Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations when I was younger. And I was into this sort of thing. I loved watching No Reservations. And even his first... Bourdain's first show, I think it was called A Cook's Tour or A Chef's Tour, and then Bizarre Foods, and Bizarre Foods is right up there. I might have liked it more, before I really got into and appreciated and was old enough to appreciate what exactly Bourdain was doing with the well-written criticisms and this sort of writer's approach to speaking about food and talking about the world and travel, and then, you know, when the CNN show came out, why am I not remembering the names of all these? Bourdain, Parts Unknown, you know, that show was, it's just a mind-blowing show as far as like being a diplomat for the world. And, you know, David Lynch even called that out. The diplomat for the world is one of the finest diplomats for the world, Bourdain, is for America, on behalf of America. But Bizarre Foods... Oh, man, you got to watch that show. It's on Discovery Plus, I guess is what I pay for, you know, to get that on your Amazon Prime account. And I'm trying to just get the like the quickest little synopsis of it because I don't think I've done it justice. And I also want to find the start date of it. So, yeah, I was in high school at the time, released in November 2006. They ran for 6 seasons. And ooh, there's a cool little map here on the Wikipedia showing you everywhere he's been in the world. And he really covered every continent, except obviously not Antarctica, but he covered every populated continent. Technically, there are scientists on Antarctica. Okay, fucking other half of my brain, shut the fuck up. But there is, you know, he'd been all up and down Africa. There's a little corner of Africa he didn't seem to get to, and he also didn't really get to, like, the Iran, Kyrgyzstan, Pakistan area, but I do see that he went to some a northern Indian city and a southern Indian city, so okay, and I see he was in the middle of China and in, you know, the city area, Beijing, China, what it looks like to me on the map. So anyway, he got around. Let me read you the wiki here. Bizarre Foods with Andrew Zimmern is a traveling cuisine television show hosted by Andrew Zimmern on the Travel Channel in the U.S. The first season debuted in February 2007. I'm paraphrasing. Bizarre Foods focuses on regional cuisine from around the world, which is typically perceived as being disgusting, exotic, or bizarre. That's a great way to put it. Thank you, editor, volunteer of Wikipedia. Zimmern focuses on the cuisine of a particular country or region. He typically shows how the food is procured, where it is served, and usually without hesitation, eats it. Yes. Now, this is 2006. This is why you thought I was going to say I'm digressing. I'm not. In 2006, okay, we have a show that's showing you, quote unquote, how the sausage is made. A phrase I've been overusing lately. And now here we are in 2022. Political climate has changed. The attitudes of viewers have maybe changed, but only for some subset of those viewers, right? Okay, not everybody has become a fucking pussy-ass little bitch. Not everybody has become that.
And men can have pussies too, so that's not sexist.
I'm insulting men, women, and non-binaries. So, sorry, I had to take a sip of my G Fuel. Running out of steam here? No, I'm not running out of steam, but I do have to close the show because I have to leave for my vacation. And I'm getting to the half-hour mark. Oh my God, I am unintentionally good at this job. The show Bizarre Foods had shown you how the sausage is made, even to the point of an occasional slaughter. Okay, an occasional slaughter, you know, a little bit of discomfort, the food being alive before it's dead, and thing, you know. So this is a part of life. Now, on Iron Chef, there's an episode. It was a great episode. It was a great battle. It was Battle Live Sturgeon. Now, you've got an expert at the live sturgeon there in Iron Chef Ming Tsai. Okay, Chinese-American. Amazing chef. Got this East versus East meets West style because he trained in France, but he grew up in Chinese restaurants in America that his family owned, working them. So, you've got this live sturgeon. That's part of the magic of the episode. It's swimming around in a tank. It's a big fish. And the host of the show, who is not the chairman, I keep forgetting his name, hosts of Iron Chef. Actually, there are two. Alton Brown. That's the name I keep forgetting. So Alton Brown and Kristen Kish. Alton Brown and Kristen Kish are acknowledging with humor, like, oh, what's about to occur is the death and demise of the live sturgeon. That's, you know, Alton Brown makes a comment like, you know, that's how it works, folks, that kind of thing. I'm not giving you a direct quote, but he's like, yeah, that's, yep, circle of life. Like, this is what's about to happen. But they don't show the slaughter. Now, I'm watching this. Yes, I'm watching it for entertainment, but I'm also watching it for education. And, like, I don't know anything about cooking. I don't know about the different kinds of knives. I don't know the names of different foods. And you learn so much watching Iron Chef because Alton Brown and Kristen Kish are also experts at food. And they're describing, while the Iron Chef and the Challenger are working, they are describing the what preparations they're doing and what they believe they're trying to make and what aspects are typically found in that dish and how the chefs are changing it a little bit and bringing it into their own style and why that's masterful. And it's a very educational show. And they don't show the slaughter by the greatest live sturgeon chef in the world living today. They don't show how he slaughters the sturgeon. So now, what if I wanted to try this at home? Now, it would be very hard. I'd have to buy a giant fish tank and somehow get a live sturgeon out of the ocean and or out of the rivers and into my my tank and then kill it when I was ready to start cooking. I understand all that, okay? I understand that it would be a difficult operation. But what if I had a restaurant? What if I was a restaurant chef and I was watching this? I want to see how he slaughters it. Maybe he has a more Humane. What a weird word. It's like we treat them like a human. Humane. We're treating the animal like a human. That's more humane. Humans are fucking nasty motherfuckers. I don't think there's any. If you want to treat something humane, you fucking grab it by its tail and fucking bash it around like a caveman. You know, bash it on the other chef's head and kill your sous chef. That'd be the most humane method. You know, so the point is, there is a way to do it that I don't know now. I'm sure there's multiple ways. I mean, do you just chop its head off with a butcher knife, or is that not good? Because maybe you have to cut the head a certain way in order to use that in your cooking, use that in the food, so you could use every part of the fish, which they were doing. So, you know, maybe you can't just take the old butcher knife to the head. Do you bop it on the head? Is there a particular spot on the head where you bop it? Do you know? Do you break it in half? Like, I don't know. I could guess, but I don't know. Do you dunk its head in boiling water? See, like that's probably bad. It's probably not nice, but maybe there's people out there doing it and they wouldn't do it if they saw this other method. So it just hurt me to know that that's where we've come to, that we can't show real life. Why are we all hiding? Well, we all aren't, but why is there some subset of us hiding from reality? Oh, reality, it's too harsh. It's the real existence. I can't stare at it. I can't look at it close. Because somebody's going to blog angrily about it. They were cruel to animals. Jerry Seinfeld is going to blog about it. They were cruel to animals. What are they doing? I think he is vegetarian, funny enough. I could be wrong on that. Why are they doing that to the live sturgeon? The sturgeon didn't hurt anybody. You know, I just didn't appreciate that. Wanted to talk about it, get it off my chest. We passed the 30 minutes. I have to go. I have to go on my vacation. Peace!
1, 2, 3. This is a podcast. Dane Noodles, this is a podcast. It's a podcast, Dane. This is a Noodles cast. And we like sex.